Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking the latest on the NFL playoffs and the Tennessee Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How are we doing?
Not much, guys. How are you this morning?
We are doing very well. And, Corey, obviously a very eventful weekend in the NFL with the divisional round of the playoffs, with the Final Four being set, the Bucks, the Packers, the Chiefs, and the Bills. Who impressed you the most over the weekend in the divisional round?
They were all good. I mean, all the teams that won were really impressive. I think I'd have to say the Bucks, because they were the ones I least expected to win. You know, both the defenses in that game were really, really good. And the Bucks, you know, really picked it up a notch and made Drew Brees look not very good. Now, does that mean I think the Bucks will win the next game? Not necessarily, but of the teams that played, I was most impressed by what they were able to get done against a really good Saints team. But I thought all the teams were really impressive.
What'd you think, Corey, of Andy Reid? You know, turning Chad Henne loose late in that game. Is that a little bit of a house money call after winning it all last year?
You know, that's exactly what I said after that happened, Joe. Does winning it last year make that an easier call to make? Because, you know, if you haven't won it yet, you're probably pretty tight, you know, thinking I've been here 9 million times before and it's slipping away from me again. But that, you know, regardless, that was a gutsy, gutsy call. Because, I mean, they're, what is it, 4th and 3 inches, and they're in a shotgun with no backs in the backfield. And everybody in the world is saying they're just trying to draw them off sides. And I'm like, if you're trying to draw them off sides, you've got to have a back in the backfield. Because I was like, they're going. I mean, this formation doesn't make any sense to draw them off sides. And, you know, that's just, I say, supreme confidence in your preparation and in your belief in your play structure as well, which Andy Reid's as good at as anybody, but among the gutsier calls I've ever seen. That was something. And another reason to like Andy Reid.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Corey, we've anticipated that this was going to happen for a long time now, but now it's official. Arthur Smith, no longer the offensive coordinator for the Titans. He takes the head coaching job with the Falcons. How nervous should Titans fans be today that he is gone and that he will not be the OC next year? And where do you think the Titans go from here with that job and that position?
It's a million-dollar question right now. I mean, what do they do? I mean, when they talked about continuity last time, Arthur Smith stood out to me pretty easily as the guy who made the most sense. And I know a lot of people looked at Pat O'Hara then, and I think you have to look at Pat O'Hara some this time, because he has called plays. I think it was in the XFL or one of the other sub-leagues. So he has done it before. But I look at Todd Downing, a guy who's been a play caller before, and not only has worked with tight ends, but has also worked with quarterbacks a lot in his career, as a guy that I think makes some sense. But again, it's all on relationship with Vrabel, relationship with the players. And regardless if they stay in the organization or outside the organization, they need somebody that understands what they do well. They don't need somebody to come in and try and reinvent the place. And that doesn't mean that they have to grab Arthur Smith's playbook and just operate out of that. But, you know, it's understanding your personnel and what gets the most out of them and moving forward with that.
Corey, if the report out of Jason Lockenfor, which again, you know, make the slippery when wet references there, grain of salt, but still, guy who's connected, you know, in Baltimore, is saying that Dean Pease may join Arthur Smith's staff. If he does, how would you read that, both from the Pease perspective and the Titans perspective?
You know, it's interesting, because, I mean, it makes you really wonder why he stepped away. I mean, you know, if he's ready to come back and coach somewhere else, you know, why did he step away? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was just time, and maybe he figured out it wasn't just time. Maybe he has a much better relationship than Arthur, but then we know. I think for Arthur, it's a great hire. He needs, Arthur's not inexperienced, but he's inexperienced as a head coach. And so I think it would be wise to have a couple of real veteran coaches. And, I mean, there's a guy who can, basically take the defense off your plate, which is pretty good. But it is interesting, and I think everybody's eyebrows raised when they saw that and thought, what exactly does that mean?
Corey, I want to get your perspective on a guy that, we spent a lot of time on the show talking about. And we talked last week about the short-term future with guys like Malcolm Butler and Kenny Vaccaro and decisions that the Titans have to make this offseason. But kind of forecasting long-term with Adoree Jackson, what do you think his future looks like? Because to me, I mean, he's been a really good player, but I think there's also I've just been waiting on him to take that next step as a cornerback and become like a true number one shutdown type of guy, and he hasn't done that. What do you think Adoree's future looks like here with the Titans?
I mean, first, Adoree's a good player. Don't get me wrong. But can we say he's been a really good player for this team?
Maybe not. Maybe just good is adequate.
I mean, do I think they need to get rid of him? No, I don't. But when you're starting talking about paying guys $12, $13, $14, $15 million a year, you have to know that guy's a pretty big time player for you, and that gets to be a hard call. I mean, it does. Could you not draft another corner in the first round and feel just as good about it? Because he's not doing the return game for you, which is one of the things you drafted him to do in the first place, and that didn't work out. He has had very good stretches. He's also had some not so very good stretches, which makes this last year really tough because you would have liked to have seen a whole lot more of him. And, he was off forever and then came back and tried to play. And it wasn't great, but I don't know if we expected great after being off so long. So I think it's a tough spot. I mean, because you don't like to let good players walk. But again, how much is somebody else willing to pay him, and are you willing to go that high? How much does he stand to make this year on that fifth year option? Isn't it like $12.5 million or something?
Yeah, somewhere around.
I thought it was 10-2, but it's somewhere low eight figures. Yeah.
All right. I mean, how do you guys feel about the eight figure number for him and what he's given this team right now?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, he's been good. He's been a good player. I think he was their best corner last year. I thought he was developing. And then, like, how do you judge this year? Yeah, it's 10.2 mil. It'll be his option number. It is a lot, But
if you told me it was like eight, I'd be like, okay. But, you start getting to that eight figures, it gets a little bit more difficult. And how much more room for growth does he have? And also, he's 4 years in. I mean, do guys grow after 4 years at that position? I don't know. I mean, it seems to me the great ones are pretty great when they walk into the league.
Well, it's an interesting situation, too, because the guy who really, I thought, played well this year and who just competes
was
and
is
what you
yeah.
was Malcolm, and, of course, he's got a bigger number. And then is Christian Fulton going to be who you thought he was when you drafted him in the second round? It's hard to answer that question, too. It's a really – that position.
Well,
is...
and the other thing is that that fifth-year option isn't guaranteed until he's on the roster the first day of the league year. So they could still step away from that if they wanted to. And then, Malcolm Butler, I think I did the numbers on that. I think they saved $10 million this year if they waive him. I think his dead money number is like $4 million and his cap number is like $14 or something like that. I mean, so they're tied into some big numbers with these guys, and that's a whole other reason to watch the end of next month when they release what the salary cap is going to be, because there's a big difference between 175 and 198 or 195, which people are talking about right now. In figuring out which ones of these guys stay and go, because I always try to tell everybody it's not the best 53, it's the best 53 that fit under the cap, and that's what makes this hard. I'd love for all these guys to make $10 million. I mean, but you've got to do the math. And that's when I talk about this stuff, it's almost exclusively math related. and you know you're already in on Malcolm for his price, and then you put Adoree at his price, and you're in a big number at two spots.
Exactly, and you've got you know a guy in Desmond King who maybe you love him, and you want to pay him. I mean, it's very interesting. So Corey,
well, he'll be more affordable, that's for sure.
So, got to ask you on Deshaun Watson, how big in the world of dumpster fires / tire fires / you know grease fires, whatever you want to call it, where does the Texan situation rank? And do you actually believe he's going to be quarterbacking someone else next year?
You know, it's hard to believe it is that you would trade away an elite quarterback because they do not grow on trees. And this guy is really, really special. I think we can all agree to that. And if you're a Titans fan, I mean, this is really exciting. I mean, I said last night on Sports Extra, I said, you know, Adam Schefter reported that they're discussing trade partners and what their quarterback position would look like without Deshaun Watson. And I said, there's a real easy answer to that. It would look worse. I mean, unless you're going to go get Pat Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that, it's going to look worse. And those teams aren't going to be trading with you. It just, it's amazing to me how entrenched the owner seems to be in his course of action with the people he's surrounding himself with and how unpopular that decision seems to be within his organization. But he apparently doesn't care. And if that's the avenue he wants to go down, he's going to go down that path. But the whole way this is tracking with the structure of that organization since the original Mr. McNair passed away is that this thing is, do you remember in 2012, like when the earth split open and everything just went to hell? that's like the Texans right now. And I mean, if you're a Titans fan, this is just like a beautiful thing to watch because they don't look like an organization that despite having a wonderful quarterback is going to be going to the playoffs anytime soon because they look like a flat out disaster right now. They are right now are making Tommy Smith. They just told Tommy Smith, hold my beer.
Nice. Very well nice. Done. Corey, last thing for you here, conference championship weekend coming up. Who ends up in the Super Bowl? What's the matchup?
Yeah, it's really hard to say because I can make an argument for every single one of those teams. I am going to say I really like the way the Bills are playing. I really like the way the Bills are playing, and I think that they're going to be tough to beat. So I don't like to make a pick on Monday, but I think I might be leaning to Buffalo right now, especially with Patrick Mahomes' injury situation. And you know, I've liked the Bucks all year. They've mystified me with how bad they've been at sometimes, but I really like their roster and the makeup of it. But I just like Aaron Rodgers at this point of his career more than I like Tom Brady at this point of his career. So I'm going to go with a different combo than probably a lot of other people, and I'm going to go Bills-Packers.
I like it. Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, thanks, guys. You guys have a good week.
Absolutely. You as well. And when we come back, we're going to discuss something Corey brought up there a little bit further. What in the world is going on in Houston right now, and is it really a possibility that Deshaun Watson will not be the quarterback next year with the Texans? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And make sure you're tuning in later today at 8:45, coming up here in just a few minutes, for your chance to participate in Pred's Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. You'll have the opportunity at 8:45 to call in and take your guess for the goal score tonight for the Predators. And if that player scores a goal, you will be winning a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So we'll have that for you coming up in roughly 25 minutes, me doing math on the fly. So make sure you're tuning in for that. But, Joe, we talked in the last segment with Corey Curtis from News 2 about the situation brewing in Houston between the Texans and star quarterback Deshaun Watson. And this coming out over the weekend from Adam Schefter from ESPN. Quote, multiple people in and around the Houston Texans organization believe Deshaun Watson has played his last snap with the team. Watson is still upset with the Texans over, among other issues, the process they used to hire general manager Nick Caserio, according to multiple sources, leading to widespread speculation that Houston could trade the star quarterback this offseason or be faced with the real possibility that he could decide to withhold his services and not report if he isn't dealt. So obviously, things not going well right now between Deshaun Watson and the Texans. There have been some tweets from Deshaun Watson that have been very cryptic about his time in Houston. He said, 2 to 10, describing his anger level that Adam Schefter reported the other day and how it's jumped from if it was a 2 to the time they traded away DeAndre Hopkins. Right now, he's at a 10. It's just not going well between those two parties. And the amazing thing that Corey brought up there is it seems like Kyle McNair, I mean, the ownership right now in Houston, just doesn't really seem to care of what's happening with Deshaun Watson. So, number one, how do you see this ending up? Do you think that there's a real possibility that Deshaun Watson is not a member of the Houston Texans to begin next season? And if that happens, how big of an indictment is this on that franchise and their prospects for the next 5 to 10 years, given this is obviously the face of their team, one of the faces of the league right now?
Yeah, it's a mess. And, a lot of this seems to revolve around Jack Easterby. He was the Patriots kind of chaplain and like life coach, and Cal McNair brought him in. And it's basically like McNair has sort of sided with him while the rest of the franchise seems to be, out on him, or at least a lot of them. And the fan base is like, I mean, it's just one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Like, the fan base is bringing like fire Jack Easterby signs like to games. And like, I'm trying to remember any other organization where it's like it's someone who's not like the head coach, the GM or somebody like that. And people are like, fire that guy. It's just weird. But even like Andre Johnson, who never says anything, like the nicest, yeah, most quiet guy in the world, who is supposed to be on this committee to help find the new GM. I mean, he's out tweeting like that. Basically, Easterby needs to be out. The Sports Illustrated did the best piece that I read on this by Greg Bishop and Jenny Vrentis over the weekend. I would advise anyone who's interested in this to check it out, because Easterby is out there like claiming there's lawsuits and that the Kraft family is the one who's trying to, to undermine him, and that they have ownership ties to Sports Illustrated, which is like not true at all. So it's very, very weird. But Cal McNair obviously has botched this. And my question is this going to actually lead to a trade? Watson has a no trade clause, but obviously he'll waive that to get out of there. There's reports that the Dolphins, that's where he wants to go. He wants to go to Miami. What would a deal look like for Deshaun Watson? Like, what would you, I mean, I'd be calling the Texans if I was at any team other than like the Chiefs, Packers, maybe a couple others in the league. But what would the haul look like, I don't know. I mean, this is one of those things where you've seen this before, where players are like, I'm done, I'm out, and they still end up, not getting traded, and they end up having to basically grit their teeth and keep playing. I still think that's possible too. But either way, I agree with Corey. I mean, if you're a Titans fan, you got to be enjoying just the absolute disaster that franchise has become.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, to think about what a return for Deshaun Watson would look like. I mean, I still think it would be massive, but it's also like, if you're the Texans, you're dealing from a position of weakness on this. Like, you have the quarterback, and obviously you're going to get some huge assets back in return to that, but with how public this has become, and with how I guess the feelings are just out in the open from Deshaun Watson's side of things and how he wants to be out of there, that's not going to help the Texans in trade negotiations when you're trying to get back as much as you could possibly get. So, to me, like, I just can't believe Cal McNair doesn't recognize, or at least doesn't seem to recognize, the importance of this and how important Deshaun Watson is to that team. I mean, he's the face of the franchise. You need to be doing anything you can possibly do to make sure that he's happy and that he feels comfortable about the direction of the franchise moving forward. Now, I mean, you can make an argument whether or not that he should have been promised input on the GM decision, reportedly, that he was, and obviously that he didn't get input on that decision. And I could kind of go either way on that. Like, I understand keeping your star quarterback in the loop, but I also think, you know, he's a player, and you should leave personnel decisions up to the personnel. So that's on the Texans for allegedly promising him that. The whole thing to me, though, is just how – it seems like Cal McNair is just totally tone deaf with this situation, and it may end up costing him the best thing that's ever happened to his franchise in Deshaun Watson. And I include J.J. Watt in that discussion as well.
Right. And I mean, whatever the discussions were, the fact that Deshaun Watson found out that they hired Nick Caserio as GM by social media.
Right.
Like, even if you end up, okay, look, Deshaun, like, yeah, input, fine, we can talk about it. I got to make a decision. Like, you know, I have to make my own decision. You could at least tell him and, like, give him 5 minutes before Twitter finds out, you know? I mean, they just completely botched this. And maybe they botched it from the start by agreeing to have any kind of discussion with him about it, but clearly they did. I mean, he, you know, Deshaun Watson has it's been made pretty clear through the reporting on Deshaun Watson that, you know, he expected at least some kind, at least something better than finding out along with everyone else.
Right.
This was the new GM. There's also, you know, he asked him to talk to Eric Bieniemy and then they didn't, but then they just did it the last minute. You know, it all looks very disingenuous. And there's other stuff in the Sports Illustrated about Easterby having this big speech to the team that felt like basically a plea for Deshaun, you know, trying to appease him, but it actually left him embarrassed, and it actually hurt matters. So I don't know, but it is interesting. Like you said, I mean, you are dealing from a position of weakness if you are the Texans, and you also – the counter to that is how many teams out there. I mean, you could still have big stakes if four or five teams are really serious about this,
right?
You know, you could still, that price could still go up for you because of how many teams would want to get into this. I mean, I know the 49ers, that's one of the teams that's reported out there who, you know, are willing to, I mean, you've got to send back a good quarterback, but that's possible with a lot of these teams, including Tua maybe. You know, but I mean, talk about just such a downer for the Texans and Texans fans. And if you're a Titans fan, you hope that they, I guess, deal him to, you know, another, to an NFC team. But still, just to have him out of the division would be pretty big.
Yeah, and you brought up Houston fans there. Like, just think about this, because there was also a report over the weekend that J.J. Watt is likely to be traded this offseason. So just to, and I get, like, J.J. Watt's not the same player, obviously, that he used to be. And he's not at the top of his game, and his best years are behind him. But just think about, like, the hit with that fan base if you lose J.J. Watt this offseason and also have made Deshaun Watson so mad to the point that he wants out and you lose him too. Like, can you imagine being a Houston Texans fan and coming into next season after losing both J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson? I mean, the fans at those games, the ones that actually decide to come back and attend, they will be irate. I mean, it's not a good look for Houston.
Right. I mean, those two guys probably as good a combo of players as far as face of an organization and in a community, you know, so just wipe that away. And like you said, J.J. Watt, maybe the writing was on the wall there anyway. You know, obviously he's on the downside of his career, but man, I mean, Watson is, you just don't, yeah, maybe Tua comes in or Jimmy G comes in and, you know, you could have good quarterback play, but you don't have this guy. And, I mean, how could you talk about, you know, fan just completely – fans completely losing faith in ownership. And it looks like that's where they are. It's just been – I mean, the past year, a year ago, that franchise with Deshaun Watson was in the playoffs, was killing Kansas City on the road, having come back to beat Buffalo. And I'm trying to think of a worse year. You know, calendar year for a franchise.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says the Titans need to take advantage of the chaos and get J.J. Watt for a 1 or 2 year deal to come in here to Nashville. You think maybe the Titans going after J.J. Watt in a trade?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are worse things that you could try to do. I mean, you know, Nick Caserio, is he going to be like, I'm not dealing – these people to division rivals. You know, some GMs take a pretty hard line stance on that, but I think it's worth a call on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Why not call? I mean, get in there. You never know. You never know where this could go. You know, I wouldn't expect the Titans to actually be there. I mean, there's some of these franchises that, you know, desperately need a quarterback and maybe have more assets to trade for it, but I'd make the call.
Can you imagine in the reaction in Houston if Deshaun Watson ended up with the Titans? Oh, my goodness.
Watson and Watt?
Yeah. That would go over really well in Houston with this team and this franchise.
Well, they can sign Clowney and all will be well. They can re-sign him, bring him back, and he'll be the face of the franchise.
Yeah, just bring Clowney back to the fold in Houston. When we come back, we've got the matchup set for conference championship this weekend in the NFL. What do we think of them? What kind of games are we expecting coming up on Sunday? We'll discuss that. Get your reaction as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Rodgers on the fake, looking, pumping. Rodgers running, and he's in. Touchdown, Green Bay.
So happy for our guys. Just thinking about what we've been through. Got me emotional with the crowd out there today.
Jackson fires, and that will be intercepted in the end zone by Johnson. Karen Johnson, and only Jackson can stop him now. Too late to the end zone. Touchdown.
What a great environment. I know, you know, again, all of our fans couldn't be in the building, but, you know, it was loud. Just great experience, great atmosphere. Congrats to all the Bills fans out
there. Oh, there is a play. Kenny rolling out, throws it. Hill! And the Chiefs are heading to the AFC Championship.
Obviously, you never want to see a guy like Patrick go down. Just went in there and try to take what the defense gave me and make some plays while doing that.
Breeze able to step into this one. This one's up for grabs and picked. Intercepted by Mike Edwards.
I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to, you know, think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
The matchups are set for conference championship weekend in the NFL after divisional play wraps up yesterday. Bucks and Packers in the NFC. You've got the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC. So the final four in the NFL has been determined. So Joe Rexroad, as you look at the matchups for conference championship weekend, you've got Brady and Rodgers squaring off in the NFC. You've got Mahomes, maybe, hopefully, and that machine of an offense with the Chiefs going up against the red-hot Buffalo Bills on that side of things. What's the more intriguing matchup to you, Buffalo and Kansas City or Green Bay and Tampa Bay?
I think I'll go Green Bay to Tampa Bay. I like the Bills a lot, and Josh Allen's been a great story. Allen Diggs is a great hookup this year. Their defense is definitely, you know, playing a lot better. They played great defense against the Ravens, obviously. Playing great defense against the Ravens, Titans did that too, by the way. I just don't know how that translates to playing great defense against the Chiefs. So if Mahomes is fine, and again, we, you know, this week that'll be a daily top of the headline stack story is, you know, Mahomes, the protocol, you got to go through certain things to be able to play. But like you said earlier, Robbie, Andy Reid was optimistic. He said he passed all his deals yesterday. If that's the case, I just think the Chiefs, I don't like the Bills from the perspective of, I really think you need to be able to run the ball to beat the Chiefs. I just think you need to cut them down from, like, you know, 8-9 possessions to like 5-6 possessions. You know, they're going to light up any defense in this league if they're right. And they looked right to me yesterday until they stupidly ran him and got him knocked out of the game. So I just think if Mahomes is back, they're good. I don't like the Bills. I like the Bills to score some points and you know, play okay D. But who on the Bills? I mean, Myles Garrett was the hope, of course, yesterday of wrecking that game. Who on the Bills scares you from that perspective? They're a solid all-around defense. They've got good, you know, good corners. But do they have corners who can stop that offense? I don't think so. The other game, I think there's a chance for a good game there. like you said, Robbie, the Bucs did bomb the Packers the one time they played. I think that's a throw out the result. Like if they played 10 times, I think the Packers win 7 or 8 of them. And I like how the Packers are playing and they're at home, but the Bucs showed me some stuff yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting matchup, and you look on FanDuel Sportsbook right now, the Chiefs favored by 3 to open up against the Bills, and the Packers favored by 3.5 in the game against Tampa Bay. So lines are pretty close there to begin this week when looking ahead to the conference championship games. The Green Bay-Tampa Bay, to me, is very fascinating because in that first matchup, Tampa Bay got all over Aaron Rodgers. They were able to put pressure on him. He threw a pick six. It was the third pick six he's thrown in his entire career, which is a pretty incredible stat to think about that just by itself, that he's only had 3 his entire career. But they were able to just dominate Green Bay defensively in that game. And I think we saw flashes last night of how good Tampa Bay can be defensively. So that part of it is really intriguing. Now, having said that, the Packers just went up against the number one defense in the league and handled them pretty well, and their offensive line was totally dominant, even without David Bakhtiari. So I do think being at Green Bay changes it. You know, it's going to be 20 degrees. There's a 45% chance of snow right now in Green Bay as well. So how does Tampa Bay handle that? Like, I mean, you feel good about Tom Brady being able to handle that. He's played in cold weather situations and snowy situations, obviously, a lot in his career. So I think he'll be fine. But how do the rest of the team handle an environment like that? That's a big-time advantage, I think, for the Packers. But I'll tell you, it feels very weird to doubt Tom Brady in the playoffs. That's why I felt pretty strongly about the Tampa Bay game. That was my lock and pigskin pick 'em over the weekend against New Orleans. There's just something about that guy in the playoffs that makes him really, really scary.
Yeah, I mean, he's still good. You know, he looked feeble and done a year ago when the Titans knocked him out of the playoffs, but that was also a much less scary offense all the way around. You can see it helps to have good people to throw to. I thought one of the big keys for the Bucs yesterday was they really committed to trying to run the football, yep, and they had success doing it. You know, they Ronald Jones, who I think is better than Fournette, you know, ran it better than Fournette and, you know, helped kind of stabilize that game for them. You know, their defense is good, but I think the Packers can run on them, and, you know, we'll see. It's so different. I mean, yesterday I thought they undercut some of those routes and did some things that you can do against Drew Brees.
Right.
You cannot do those things against Aaron Rodgers. I didn't watch much of that first meeting. It was a shocking score. But, you know, it's also, again, in this league here and there, you just got these wacky games that get out of control on you. I don't know that you tell me. Does that mean it's a bad matchup for the Packers? I just think it was a bad day.
It was a bad day. I don't think it's a great matchup for the Packers. I'll say this. Davante Adams also was not 100% that day either. That makes a pretty big difference for this Packers offense, if you haven't noticed. So I'm interested to see how they go about covering him, because – he has been just such a weapon for this team. But, I think it's going to be close. I mean, once you get down to conference championship weekend, I think you're going to be in for some good games, and the line right now is 3.5 for Green Bay. I think that's about right. Like, I'll put it this way. I would be very surprised if the Packers go out there and just boat race Tampa Bay in this game. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, a big thing that, you know, I was surprised the Saints didn't do better. They didn't – I mean, early on they did – but they didn't get the kind of pressure on Brady I thought they would. And that's a big key, obviously. You know, the Smiths, I mean, can they make things uncomfortable for him? I do think one area where he, to me, looks different now than he did 5 years ago or whatever is I don't think he handles pressure very well. And I think he gets visibly less effective,
yeah,
if you get that going on him. Again, yesterday, I thought that offensive line did a tremendous job after the first couple series of keeping him clean. If he's clean, then he's going to have a chance to pull this off, because certainly he's got weapons out there. And I mean, it's a tough deal to cover Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And even, you know, some of their secondary receivers made some big time plays yesterday.
Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Now that we're down to the final four in the NFL, who would be your current Super Bowl pick? We've got 333 votes in. so far, 51% going with the Packers, 26% with the Bills, just 18% for the Chiefs, and 5% for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am shocked that Kansas City is in third right now on that list.
Yeah, what's up with that? I'm stunned. I mean, to me, Kansas City should be. I mean, is it maybe it's uncertainty over Mahomes?
Has to be.
I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Has to be that, yeah. Right?
A lot of Bills Mafia in Nashville?
Apparently.
Lots of
They're
love.
Everywhere.
For the,
they are everywhere.
Lots of love for the Green Bay Packers. That makes me incredibly nervous. I don't like that at all.
You were nervous the other day. You're all nervous, and they blow out the Rams.
I know. I'm going to be nervous every time. That's just how it works from here. But we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a very fascinating matchup coming up on Sunday in both title games. I think we could be in for a treat of a weekend in the NFL. When we come back, it's that time. Time for Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you'll have an opportunity to select a goal scorer for the Predators in their game tonight against Carolina. If that player scores, you win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So get on the phones now. Join us at 615-737-1025. Preds Pick the Click coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's that time. Time for Preds Pick the Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We will do this each and every Preds game day throughout the season here on the show on Robbie and Rex Road. So that means you'll have another opportunity to participate in Preds Pick the Click tomorrow as well at 8:45. So make sure you're tuning in for that. So let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Judy, who is today's winner to participate in Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Judy, how are we doing? What's going on today?
I'm good. How about you?
I am doing very well. Now, Judy, there's a lot of pressure. Our first competition on Thursday, our listener called in, Julie, and she got the answer right. She picked Philip Forsberg to be the goal scorer in that game against Columbus, and he did. So there's pressure. We got to keep this thing going. Do you think you can handle it?
I think I can.
All righty. So Preds taking on Carolina tonight in the game against the Hurricanes, a divisional matchup now for the Predators. Who do you think scores a goal for the Nashville Predators tonight?
I think it's going to be Arvidsson.
Arvidsson. So Arvidsson, yes. A guy that has not been on the board as of yet. As we know, a very gifted goal scorer. You think Arvidsson gets the job done tonight?
I think tonight's his night. Go, Arvy.
I like it. Judy, we'll see if you're a winner. Make sure you're tuning in to the game tonight, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So Victor Arvidsson, a popular pick the other day as well from some text messages we got on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He has not had a goal up until this point, has had some chances offensively. I still think there's another level for that line to get to with Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson, but Judy going with Victor Arvidsson. I like that pick, Ryan Porth.
I like it too. Philip Forsberg has scored in each of the first two games. Perhaps Arvidsson gets in the goal column tonight.
So you know who also had some success in our first edition of Preds Pick the Click? Joe Rextro did. He had Luke Cunningham scoring the goal. His opening night as a member of the Nashville Predators, Luke Cunningham gets it done. So Joe Rextro, you are currently leading this competition with myself and Ryan Porth. So you get the honors of going first today in the competition. Who scores for the Nashville Predators tonight against Carolina?
Yeah, I like the Arvidsson pick there. I look at, you get to this point, you're like, okay, so who on this team will they be leaning on to score this year who hasn't scored yet? You know, sometimes, I think that's, you look at him, you look at Ryan Johansson, you look at Matt Duchene. But I'm going to go with, so he scored the other night, and it occurred to me that in the entire offseason, I don't believe that we mentioned his name one time. Like, I thought about that. I'm like we just never talked about him. I'm going to go with RV Jr.
Oh,
Rocco Grimaldi to get another goal.
Nice.
And give him two in three games.
I like that pick. He was flying around the other night.
He was. He looks good.
He does.
We never talk about the guy, but he's a pest, and he can take advantage of opportunities. So give me Rocco.
So Joe Rextrode going a little bit off the board there with Rocco Grimaldi for his pick to click tonight, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. I'm going to go a little bit more on the board. I went kind of on the off the radar the other night with a defenseman. I'm sticking with a forward tonight against Carolina. Give me Matt Duchene to score a goal tonight. I like a lot of what I've seen from that line with him and Luke Cunningham, and they moved Nick Cousins up there the other night and switched Haller around. So I'm interested to see, like, what's the other winger tonight for Matt Duchene. But I really like what him and Luke Cunningham have done at times so far. I thought they were stronger in the first game than they were in the second game against Columbus. But Matt Duchene ends up with an assist in that game. I think tonight he gets it done. He finds the back of the net. And I'll take it a step further. I think he finds the back of the net on the power play tonight. So
ooh,
give me Matt Duchene.
Wow.
Ooh.
There you go.
All right.
Do you get another point if you get that part right? Or that
I mean, that's up to
you.
I'm just trying to show off pretty much.
I say no.
Okay, thank you.
No.
Well, then I'll stop trying to show off from now on. I won't predict a power play goal again. Ryan Porth, Preds pick to click.
Well, you could just make yourself sound smart every time if you feel like a player's going to score on the power play or shorthanded or score in overtime.
I like the movement that I've seen on the power play.
Okay.
I think Duchene gets it done.
I am going with the captain.
Ooh.
Roman Josi, I think he finds the back of the net tonight.
So it's interesting. We've talked about Forsberg. He scored in both games, both incredible individual efforts on his part and laser shots. And none of us, nobody, picked Philip Forsberg for this edition.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb. I kind of want to change my pick before
Well, you're not allowed to do that, Joe Rexroad, so sorry about it.
Boards play.
Yeah.
I mean, when Forsberg has scored in two straight games, it actually should be almost automatic you pick him to score in the third because we know how he goes.
Yeah, he's very streaky, and he's playing really well right now. But, I mean, you can't pick Forsberg to score every game. That's not going to happen, as we know. So I feel good about my pick. Joe, Rocco Grimaldi, you're right, a guy that we didn't spend a ton of time talking about, but we've seen it in terms of his speed, his ability to generate offense, and his shot. I mean, he just powered one through Columbus the other night for the first goal of the game for the Predators. I like that pick. He is a guy that's been buzzing around on that third line.
Yeah. You know, Rocco is, I mean, my gosh, the guy who was the flat-out best forward on the team in the 2019 postseason should be getting a little bit more love.
So that was Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. And like I said, you'll have another opportunity tomorrow for Preds Pick to Click at 8:45. They will once again be taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. So make sure you're tuning in for your opportunity to participate with us tomorrow. And good luck to Judy tonight, who has picked Victor Arvidsson to get on the board. So we'll see how that works out. Joe, what were your big takeaways for the opening two games for the Predators against Columbus? Two wins to begin the season. 4 points right off the bat. What has stood out to you the most through those first two games?
Well, I like how they came back in both games. You know, they weren't perfect, but they fought back. You know, I really obviously liked the third period of the second game against Columbus. I mean, that was, you know, they just opened up a can on those guys. Obviously, Saros has been terrific. We just talked about Forsberg. He's starting out producing, and this is – and this team is going to need, obviously, their top – those four forwards, as things go on, you know, they're going to need those guys to produce. But it's great to get a guy like Luke Cunningham scoring a couple goals. I do like how that line overall has looked so far. And, of course, it's about to look different not too far in the future now that I believe Granlund is in the country. I mean, he'll be in that lineup soon enough. But I think there's a lot to like, a lot more to like than not like. I just feel like they've been solid. They look like they are putting their money where their mouth is on being harder to play against and being more responsible and consistent, and that goes a long way.
Ryan Porth, what has been the most encouraging part to you about the Predators through their first two games against Columbus? Two wins to begin the season.
Probably the fact that in both games they got better as the games went along, and they did not let a bad thing get to them. You know, we've seen in the last couple of years where one bad bounce doesn't go their way and it kind of snowballs on them. It didn't happen Thursday night with the breakaway goal by Boone Jenner, and it didn't happen Saturday night when on their second goal of the night, it was a pinball goal, ties it up at 2-2, and then Brad Richardson, Luke Cunningham, they respond right away with a pair of goals. Colton Sissons with a dandy.
That was a pretty goal.
It really was. And I think the fact that they did not let those moments get to them, I think is a good sign.
I think it is too, and like you said, at times last year, that was a huge problem. The minute things started to go poorly for this team, they did not respond well to it, and albeit a two-game sample size so far, very encouraging. I think you have to be encouraged with the way that UC Soros has played, and a decision to make now for John Hines heading into this game. You've got a back-to-back situation for the Predators against Carolina. You would think that Pekka is going to get one of these two games. So, Joe Rexroad, I ask you, do you give Pekka the game tonight against Carolina, or do you roll with the hot goaltender, leave Soros in tonight, and then let Pekka go tomorrow against Carolina? How would you handle this if you're John Hines?
Yeah, I'm rolling with Soros tonight. I understand that, you know, this is three games in a, you know, since Thursday, but it's also the beginning of the season, and he's a young guy. He can handle that no problem. So the way he's playing, I mean, I think you give him the next start, see if he can get on a roll, and then, you know, you go with your backup goaltender on the second day of a back-to-back. I think it's an easy choice.
I think it is, too. I would go with Soros as well. Now that we've both said that, Rene will probably start tonight, so we'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. But whether it's tonight, whether it's tomorrow, also very interested to see how Rene responds to what was a bad season. He's talked about it a little bit last year and how he's got some motivation to come in and prove himself again this year that he can still play at this level. So whether that happens tonight or whether that's tomorrow against Carolina, looking forward to seeing what Pekka Rinne brings to the table in net for the Nashville Predators. And when we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators. Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also does the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. He'll join us next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.